This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Well, a lot of people have been filing a lot of lawsuits over the water debacle in Flint. Residents there have been drinking lead-contaminated water, as you well know. And there might be a connection to several cases of Legionnaire's disease that killed 9 people as well. So with all these lawsuits, we're going to turn to Noah Hall. He's a law professor at Wayne State University. I'm guessing this is just the first wave of lawsuits to be filed. What do you expect?
That's exactly what I expect. I think we've seen the first wave come in, but certainly not the second, the third, or the last. So far, the situation in Flint is playing out fairly typical of large-scale environmental and public health disasters. You're going to see a wave of litigation, private tort litigation, class action litigation, seeking damages on behalf of individual plaintiffs. You're going to see environmental organizations and other public interest organizations filing lawsuits, really looking to shape policy and put in place a policy solution.
I saw one of the lawsuits didn't call for any kind of monetary damages. They just wanted the Flint Water Department to provide safe water. End of story.
Exactly. The public interest organizations often aren't seeking a penny of damages. They essentially want government to do its job. They want to see the law enforced, and they want to see the situation fixed. And then finally, we're eventually going to see civil and likely criminal legal actions taken by perhaps all 3 levels of government, local, state, and federal. And like I said, it could be both civil and criminal charges being brought. So what we've seen so far is really just the first of what I expect to be 3 waves.
I read in a Detroit Free Press story by Jennifer Dixon that you suggest the state prepare for all of this and the likely onslaught of these lawsuits by financing a victim's compensation fund. We had that with the BP disaster, and you made reference to that, but how would it work in Michigan and in this case?
Well, the idea behind a victim's compensation fund, and frankly, some of them work better than others, and there's a lot of different ways you could go about doing them. But the idea is pretty simple. It's that instead of fighting about liability and pointing fingers and really making a long, drawn-out legal dispute about what went wrong and whose fault was it, you do away with that, accept at least enough responsibility that you're willing to pay to fix the problem, and you move on with determining what types of damages people suffered, how to quantify those damages in dollars and cents, which, as distasteful as it is part of the legal system.
Right.
And then also, what other types of solutions to put in place, especially given the nature of lead poisoning and some of the other public health implications? A victim's compensation fund could provide ongoing funds for things like educational assistance, community support, public health awareness. Of course, new infrastructure should be at the top of the list. But the point is that instead of drawing out a legal battle, for example, the Exxon Valdez oil spill, the litigation over that lasted over 20 years. It went up and down through the courts. Eventually, the Supreme Court had to take it on almost 20 years after the spill occurred. Instead of the state investing its money and lawyers to fight its citizens, I think the state would be better off putting its money into a compensation fund, admitting that it was wrong, or at least admitting that a wrong occurred and that it's responsible, and moving forward with solutions and compensation.
I take it in the long run, this would be cheaper than fighting all these lawsuits or class action suits?
You would hope it would be cheaper. The only way it wouldn't be cheaper is if the state managed to get out of some liability through its legal fights. But in effect, that's robbing Peter to pay Paul. That's the state more or less shortchanging its own citizens who are harmed in an attempt to further save a buck, which is really not the solution to this problem.
Well, that's the claim by a lot of folks that was the way we got here.
Well,
some of these suits sue one government body or another, the local hospital, the firm that helped Flint switch to the river, and even sue to hold Governor Rick Snyder personally liable, which usually he'd have immunity, right? So how do you deal when you're looking at McLaren Hospital and you're looking at this firm and you're looking at politicians individually? That doesn't really work into a compensation fund all that well, does it?
Actually, the range of defendants and liability for defendants could all be factored into the compensation fund. Almost certainly the state of Michigan's the primary responsible party here. Whether it's the state of Michigan as the supervisor of the emergency manager, whether it's the state of Michigan through its Department of Environmental Quality, whether it's the governor's office, whether it's Governor Rick Snyder, The state of Michigan sits in the middle and essentially at the top of almost all of the liability here. But there are other parties. There's a contracting firm. Of course, for the Legionnaires' disease, there's claims against the hospital. There might be some liability for the local government here. Even the elected officials of Flint, while their power was limited, they did have some role in this. And so the Victims' Compensation Fund could require contributions from more than one party.
Right. Okay.
And so while the state of Michigan might be the primary source, other liable parties could step in. I think another benefit of the Victims' Compensation Fund, and this is where timing is really key, there's at least some willingness and interest in the federal government, in Congress, to step in and provide some resources and relief for the citizens of Flint. You know, at the end of the day, making Michigan liable for this is really just penalizing the Michigan taxpayers for the wrong that their state government did. And it's not unheard of for the federal government to help compensate and to essentially carry the load. I think Michigan has actually a fairly unique but time-sensitive opportunity to get some support from the federal government. There's a tremendous amount of national attention on Flint. A lot of members of Congress from both parties are sympathetic to the situation in Flint. I think if Michigan were to actually take some leadership about accepting responsibility and then go to Congress and ask genuinely, can you help shoulder this burden, the taxpayers of Michigan might get some relief from the federal government.
As parents discover in the future that their children have unimagined problems, things that they didn't recognize, then are they going to be time limited in what they can do?
It's a great question. One of the complexities of lead poisoning, and really one of the tremendous tragedies of lead poisoning, is that the harm and really the cost of it, to put it in economic terms, is often not seen or even known about for decades to come. These children might have trouble, for example, having children of their own in 20 years. And so a Victims' Compensation Fund could provide a long-term source of funding, as well as other resources that the community is going to need to deal with this lead poisoning problem. It frankly breaks my heart. Lead poisoning is in some ways a lifetime punishment. It's really terrible. And it's the type of toxin that can change someone's life in decades to come in ways that we can't even conceive right now. And that's another reason that I think a Victims' Compensation Fund, which could create a permanent source of resources to help the citizens out, is a better way to go than litigation. In litigation, often you have to show the harm that's suffered right here and now in order to get compensation.
There's one thing you noted about a compensation fund that could have the added benefit of keeping damaging revelations from coming to light in a lengthy legal fight. Personally, I kind of hope we can learn everything we can from this. I mean, after all, we're paying for the damage done through our taxes. We ought to learn what lessons we can. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it absolutely does, and I'm sympathetic to that. And frankly, if I was representing some of the plaintiffs here, I might be as concerned with finding the truth and essentially uncovering the evidence that shows the wrongdoing as I am about getting compensation for my clients. And I don't want to at all minimize that. At the same time, I think it would be in the state's interest, instead of essentially engaging in a multi-year fight over documents, records, secrecy. We've already seen the skirmishes over the governor's emails. At the end of the day, the state's just going to look worse and worse. Every new document that's uncovered is really going to show another problem, another error, another misjudgment, and maybe even worse by the state. I'd like to see at least the compensation and the solution move forward without that. Now, at the same time, figuring out what went wrong and who did what wrong is a big part of justice. I'm not saying we ignore that, but the EPA, Office of Inspector General, has opened a formal investigation. We also have the state attorney general has appointed a special prosecutor, and Genesee County has appointed a special prosecutor. It might be that the best opportunity to uncover the truth and essentially find evidence of wrongdoing to help us both assign blame, get a sense of justice, and avoid future problems might be through those investigations, through the work of journalists, other independent parties, but I'd at least like to see the victims get compensated, see the pipes get fixed, see the citizens of Flint get clean water without first having to fight all of that out.
That's Noah Hall. He is a law professor at Wayne State University. Thanks very much for helping us with this.
Thanks for having me.